Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for this show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Oh,
All right. Jed, Pete and I were upstairs, and Jed walked up and said, well, how are we doing in there? He said, well, the worship was real good, and then when we introduced the topic, the whole room took a posture of, do we have to talk about this? I don't want to talk about this. There's a lot of topics like that at the Bridge, and the key is those are the good nights. We actually dig into something we don't want to think about, and I think this ranks right up there. So let's, you know, how do we control our desires for things? You can't. That's a bad strategy. You can spend all your days trying to control your desires. You're going to spend a lot of time feeling like a failure. You can't control your desires. What you can control is your decisions. Thing is, God never asks us to control our desires. Pastor Al read that a verse from Thessalonians, and Paul says, control your own body. Body doesn't desire things. Your body does things, goes places. That's what we need to learn to control. Desires are not something you can. Desires are not a decision. You never talk about the ones in here. You know, envy. You never sit down and say, "Well, that guy's car is a 2000 Mercedes, and that's worth about $70,000." I'm very jealous of that. You just see it rolling down the street, and it happens. Desires come on you. Lustful feelings. I feel like I don't have to even give an example of that one. We can all just move on to the way that works. As a matter of fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, which is the first kind of real big sermon that Jesus preached, he was talking about the way people used to understand what God wanted of them. And he said, you know, you've heard it said, anybody who commits, don't commit adultery. Well, I say that anyone who has looked at a woman lustfully has committed adultery with her. Now, the point he was making there is everybody is sinful. Everybody needs grace. That's the thing he chose. Half the people in the crowd were probably doing it right then. Wait, what did he say? That sounds like trouble for me. You can't control your desires. You can control your decisions. And that is good news because you are always going to desire wrong things. Some of us have been driving around in the snow all day, and I am saved, sanctified, I'm full of that. I have thought about murdering no less than 30 people today. Just getting out and explaining in clear language as I pull them out of their window exactly how much following distance you should leave in the snow. I want to do that. That is okay. I didn't. And quite frankly, I feel like I should get points for not doing it. I don't think I should count against myself for wanting to do it. I wanted to do a wrong thing and I didn't do it. That feels like a win for me. That's all of us every day. We all have our weaknesses. We all have our limits. Now, the thing is, we can let temptation run away on us so far that we lose our decision-making ability. Some of us have this idea of being so Christian and so holy that you are never tempted to do wrong stuff. And that's not a thing that exists. The book of Hebrews, in referring to Jesus, says, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way. Right up till the end, the night of his crucifixion, Jesus was still actively being tempted. So if you want to try to go out into this neighborhood and be holier than Jesus, good luck to you. I'm not going to set that as my goal. I'm not going to set the goal for whether I feel like a failure in my spiritual life to be holier than Jesus was, okay? But so many of us, even if we wouldn't say it out loud, we think that way, and that leads us down a bad path because then we get in this mindset of, well, I was tempted, and I feel like a failure for being tempted, so if I'm going to feel like a failure, I might as well do it, drink it, smoke it. I already feel bad. You know what makes me feel better? Doing the thing I was thinking about. When you get up and have already lost the battle that Pastor Al was talking about, you're in trouble. But that's not what Jesus is asking for from us. Jesus doesn't want you to not desire things. As a matter of fact, Jesus wants to fulfill your desires. And the things we're taught, the two examples we're given this question, and there's some other stuff that I imagine falls under this, you know, heading of a desire for things, aren't even the full-on desire. You talk about, you know, how do we control lustful feelings? Well, we all know what we're talking about with that.
But what's the desire at the base of that? You know, you have a sex drive that God gave you. You have a desire for intimacy and romance and all that stuff. And that's good. God gave you that. Now, there's a way he wants to hook that up for you. But pretending you don't want that is not actually going to get you there. If anything, it's just going to build up the tension until you decide you don't care if you're hooking it up his way or not and go down your own way. But desiring things is not wrong. You know, how do we control envy? Well, people have stuff you want. That is the bottom line of the human condition. That is never going away. Right now, there is some dude in a hospital bed who's 95 years old wondering why that guy got a double helping of Jell-O and I didn't. And that's always how it is. Now, but what decisions about your thought process does that set off? You say, well, that person has something I would like. That person has the car I want. Now, what's the actual desire there? A car. But you say, man, I wish I had my stuff together like that. I wish I had a regular job. I wish I had something nice that I was proud of. All those are good desires. The Lord can take that in a good direction. Now, you can also decide, I want that. I know how much that costs. I know much how much dope I have to sling to get that much. Let's go. Now you've left God out of that decision making because you were ashamed of wanting it in the first place. Shame cuts God right out of the equation. So if you decide that what you want to do is control your desires, you're going to start off with shame and you're going to go in a bad direction quickly. Now if you decide that what you want to do is control your decisions, now I have a desire and I can bring God into the process of how to hook that up. That's a very important thing. Let's go to this verse out of Luke chapter 22. It's talking about the disciples here. It says, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. The disciples were morons. That's my personal biblical commentary. I was talking to a friend the other day and I said, pointed out, we were talking about a passage in the Bible, said every time the disciples come into a story, it's like the Three Stooges entering a room. They're falling all over each other, and they make a mess of everything. Okay, so they're following Jesus. Jesus is personally teaching them, and they are sniping at each other about who's going to be the coolest. All right, so Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Let me tell you why I tell that story. Jesus did not say, you should not want to be great. I'm great. I am Jesus. I'm taking up all the greatness in this room. So figure it out. He said, you want to be great? Okay. Here's my way to hook that up. In some translations and other places that tell the story of the gospel, said, whoever wants to be great among you should be like a servant. It says, you want to be great? Awesome. Follow my example. I came here to serve. You want to be great? I think that's a good desire. You should want to be great. You should want to be great in my way. Now, if the disciples had thought, you know, I would very much like to be great, but Jesus will probably get mad at me for wanting that. So I'm just going to take my idea of what great is, and I'm going to try to slide off and do that while he's not looking. They never would have gotten anywhere. They would have gotten themselves in some massive trouble, like so many of us do. We make these terrible decisions when we get overwhelmed by what we want. So the key is to get in that fight early. Every screwed up thing any of us have ever gotten into was not one decision. You were not in a spot and something came on you and you decided to do a wrong thing. That is a very rare case. Sometimes that happens. But you decide to go with those people to that place. And then you decide that it's a little early to turn in. I'm going to hang out for another hour. And then you decide, and then you decide, and now we're in trouble. You know, boxers, UFC fighters, and those kind of guys, they start training 6-8 months out from a fight. You don't just get in the ring and see what happens. That's not going to go well. You know, Glenn and I were talking a little bit earlier about George Foreman and Muhammad Ali. George didn't just show up and hope that he knew what was going to go on. You got to spend time getting trained up for a fight. You got to do a series of things. You have to start working out, start eating the right way, start studying tape, do all this stuff. No one just show up and hope for the best. And that's the same in the fight we're in. Now, if you're trying to fight your desires, they're coming at you too fast and too hard. You are done. But if the fight we're in is a fight to let God into our decisions of what we're going to do with those desires, you can start that process way before you get in a trouble situation. Everybody in this room has had enough trial and error, let's call it, to know what their triggers are and how much is too much and when we're getting in the red line. And when you know that, you can start planning around it. You can make decisions. A lot of us got into our madness because we never actually made a decision. We went with that group of people to that place, we got in that car, we took that thing we were past, and then it was all downhill from there. God knows you have desires, and He wants to be part of the decisions of what you do with those. Amen? All right, we're going to release our host.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son.